Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yannins, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our broadcast again. We are excited that we have you listening, and we have been looking in the last couple of days to see how we can just be more available to those that are out there on the internet and different devices. And for the radio station, now for the TV station, it's pretty much covered. But for the radio station, you know, I built this thing back in 2009. And out of instruction from God to build it, and we put it together, and we had an idea of just getting the stream on there. And I think that as we built it, as we put it together, as we made it, it ran, and it runs continually very good. In fact, we have computers running all the signals and stuff. But with my busy travel schedule and my busy publishing and everything else, as well, everything's changing in technology since last 4 years ago, since how we built this. We have churches that are on Rev Media Network that continue to broadcast with us, their events and stuff. And we are excited to announce that we are about to upgrade all of our players on the radio channel side of it. All four channels are going to be upgraded pretty soon. You're going to be able to have a better, it's not going to change any way how you listen to this, besides that you're going to be able to pull this up on iPads and iPhones and stuff like that, and that you're going to be able to, we're going to be able to draw more listeners through different places that we can list the show at. So there's an upside to it. The downside to it is it's going to cost us more. But that's just what technology is. It continues to cost, continues to add, if you're going to put the gospel out, if you're going to do anything in business or ministry or anything in life, it's going to cost you something. So we're going to be absorbing that cost again, and starting with one channel, which is the talk radio channel, get that fine-tuned, and then it's going to be a big task. It's going to take us a few months because we're basically going to be going fully digital on the service side as well. Everything's going to be coming from a cloud, and it's going to be able to play the entire broadcast on all the channels. And that's pretty much the information I want to share with you on that. I want you to pray about it. Our expense is going to go up a few $100 a month for this change, but I do believe that God has called us to do this, and we're going to be able to get better statistics, be able to see where we're reaching and where people are hearing us from, and that's going to help the traveling ministry, the healing ministry, because we're going to know where to concentrate, where God is reaching the people that we're ministering to. Of course, right now we know we go all over the world. Praise God. And we're going to be able to continue doing that with this new software that we're adding to the station. So keep that in prayer. And I believe God's going to do some amazing, amazing, amazing things. You know, faith is an important, important element in our life. Without faith, we cannot please God. But the faith that God gives you needs to continually be pressed. Amen? There has to be something in you that says, okay, God, I don't know if I can do this and how I can make this happen, but I'm going to try. You know, I read the book, God's Generals, almost finished. I got like two or three pages left, and then I go to the conclusion. And Billy Graham's story was, I thought, going to be longer in it, but it wasn't. But it was very good. It was still very good. I still enjoyed it. I still was excited about hearing how he even started, thinking how God could use him. So I want to encourage you, because those books that you read, whatever books you get, I mean, we have so many books from great authors that we have brought on the air. Marilyn Hickey, Joan Hunter, Pastor Maldonado, Henry Fernandez, several people that we have had on the air that we are excited. We're excited to have them. We're excited to have them on the air. And the reason a lot of people say, well, David, you know, we want to hear more about ministries, more about people that do the work of God and not just books. And you know, when I was younger, growing up in faith, I literally used to say that I don't read anything else but the Bible. I don't read anything else but the Bible. And it was good. But then you have to read the testimonies and the knowledge. You're not going to get everything yourself. Praise God. You know, there's other men of God out there, other women of God that get some good stuff from God. Everybody's preaching is influenced by someone or something. I have a good friend coming by the station after we're done with the broadcast. Brother Clarence is what we call him, Clarence Dalrymple. He'll be visiting the station just to go over some stuff that we normally go over on video and radio for him, and just checking where we're going to go for this year with his ministry. But he mentioned something that really, really, really touched me, and it's probably kind of, it's not even what we're talking about, but he mentioned that he needs to go and come by and record some videos because he needs to stick to the plan and get the video. It's good material. But when he tries to do this at churches, that the Spirit pulls out of him what the congregation needs. The Spirit pulls out of him what the congregation needs. So he can go in there with the mindset and go from point A to point B and point C in his video series that he's trying to create, but because he's doing it in front of a live audience, the Spirit is pulling what those people need from him, and he goes like what he calls on a rabbit trail. He's an older fella, okay, so that's fine. And the Spirit does do that. It does do that. So you're influenced by what you read, you're influenced by people that you hear preach, you're influenced by different things around you. So I encourage you to read books and encourage you to get into a book that would encourage you. Get books that excite you if you're not a book reader. Books that will challenge your faith. Books that will make you want to do more for God. And I tell you, after reading the book The Revivalist by Robert Lierden, it's given me some insight on the things of God in people's lives. It has. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my spirit that God has called me for two things. Well, three things if you want to add it in there. And in everything that I do, I'm an encourager. That's one thing I just said that you could add it in there. But I'm an evangelist. And I am a revivalist in my heart. Wherever I go, I challenge people in salvation. Challenge them to believe God in healing and encourage their lives. So from the books all the way to the broadcasting, all the way to the missions, all the way to the children's homes that we have. It is God that has encouragement in those things. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. If God has blessed you and touched you through this broadcast and you have been just miraculously healed, something happened in your life, I want you to just go ahead and give us an email. Send us a letter. Let us know what's going on. Let us know that the testimony that you have. And we're going to see some good things come out of it and see some good things happen. Now, I know that the station is doing a good thing in broadcasting these services and these ministry things out there. So it's time to invest into it by faith. It takes courage, and I talked last time we had the show, I talked about courage. It takes courage to do the thing God wants you to do. It takes faith to believe that he will do his part. Now, are you hearing me, my friends? Are you hearing me out there? It takes courage to do the things God tells you to do. Or the things you believe you're supposed to do. It does. It takes courage to do it. And it takes faith to deliver and believe that God will do it. I know that many, 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 many ministries have grown. And I tell you, in my spirit, I see all of these beautiful people, these faith people doing great things. And you sit back and you wonder, well, how can I do it? How can I do it? You know, the other night on the news, it was showing that Mark Burnett, the guy that created Survivor and Shark Tank and all these other successful shows, has been making a documentary, a movie, a four-part series that'll be shown on the History Channel called The Bible. And then they mentioned this, something that just stuck with me for a little bit, and I had to think about it. and it said 100 ministers signed on as advisors, including big ones here in Houston, Dallas, big names. You'll know every one of them if I mention them. I'm sure you can Google it. And I don't know. It was good. It's good. And I looked at that and I said, how many? And these are ministers of good name and very big. And the news, of course, they're news. They're broadcasters. They're for ratings. And they're like mentioning all the big names of ministry that signed on. And for a minute, I mean, I have to be honest with you. For a minute, I sat there and I thought about it. It's good that they're making a movie. It's good that these big ministers come in and sign it. And I'm like, well, Lord, you know, we're going to make movies and stuff as well for you, Lord. And I'm thinking, I have no big name, praise God. I have no reach that media would be here if I did something. And I just thought about it for a second, and I said, Lord, I thank you that you don't have to find a big name to do a big thing. It's good that they got the recognition and they're out there and they're huge ministries and it's nice. It is. But I'm going to keep trucking along and doing what I do for you, God, regardless if those that see it as big, regardless of those that see it as powerful and amazing, where the news would come and find you. And I think every minister has to know this, that there doesn't have to be a big name or you don't have to be recognized because you're doing the work of God. It doesn't matter. Nobody sees us in the villages in India. Nobody sees us in the cities in Kenya. Nobody sees us on this airway as a big name. And I'm like, it would be nice to, you know, you're just as qualified as anyone else. Praise God. I mean, I believe this. You're just as qualified as anyone else to be one of those 100 pastors. You are, in faith. But it's not what we're here for. It's not what we're self-alkalides and stuff like that. It's not what we're here for. It is for the faith of God. And it takes courage to do what you're doing. I really believe in my heart that this next wave of revival, this next wave of ministry, is going to be done by the men and women of God that just want to see God move. We've seen different movements in faith. We've seen different movements that God has done great things, and God has used great men of God, and other men of God have just grown in it as well. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we see it. But I want to tell you this, that I really believe that God has a reason that you're where you're at today. I've grown up in faith and seeing the ministries from Jimmy Swaggart to Billy Graham to Oral Roberts to Shamback, R.W. Shamback, David Wilkerson, even Benny Hinn, Rod Parsley, T.D. Jakes. I've been in all their conferences, all their services that I have been in. Not every service that they had, but I've been in services of all of them. That would be the best way to say it. I've been in services and not just one, not just two, but as often as I could. They were in town, or if I was in a city where they were at, I would purposely go and hear them. And to be honest, I've met several of them and shook their hands and talked to them for a few minutes. And it's amazing to see God's anointing on them. It is. But I will tell you this, that God will take any man that is, and or woman, that has their heart open to him and do great things with him. Now, I know for a fact that God has great things for our ministry. And I know for a fact that God has great things for you. Why? Because he has begun a good work in you. It's faithful to finish it to the very end. He is faithful to make something happen for you good in your life. Thousands cry out to him every day, God, use me. God, use me. But I want to ask you this question, if I could. How many of those that are screaming, God, use me, would just do the simple, small thing first? Would do the simple, small things in your life first? How many of you would actually just do whatever you could, and that's what's ever in front of you, really? That's what God is looking for, is for someone to do what is so easily in front of them. He is not looking for anyone to do anything that you can't do. Praise God. I really believe before you can go before millions to preach, well, you got to preach to 10, 20. It's different places and different things that you do. You just got to trust God to do it in your life. Believe him that it will happen. I know for a fact that God is able to lift you up even when you've been broken. You see, sometimes when you're broken, it makes a better mold for God to make. You know, you appreciate things more. Am I right or am I wrong? When you have been broken, you appreciate God's grace more. You appreciate God's grace extremely more. That to the point where you're just excited and thankful that he has done great things in you. That he has done amazing things for you. You accept his grace. You accept his love. There's no doubt that you want God in your life. You trust him. You're excited about him. And you just want to see great things happen. Because you understand God's grace. Amen and amen and amen and amen. I hope I'm not preaching too much to you. Hopefully you're understanding some of this stuff. Hey, we're going to be at the NRB in about a couple of weeks. I believe it's the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th. I'll be out of town, and that's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So we'll have some good shows for you here. Normally when I go to the NRB, I do a live show from there, and it's really nice. But they don't cater to us anymore, so I'm just going to do recorded shows and do some video stuff and see what we can get done out there. I'm excited about the things that we're going to be doing there because we're going to see some powerful, powerful things come out of this. Last year we met a couple of good contacts from the NRB, and they're still continually growing, so we're excited about that. We're excited that those contacts and people that we meet are going to be new contacts, but also go back and visit some of the contacts that started different things for us in different parts of the ministry. So we're excited about that. We have a full list of interviewers and interviewees. No big names, I don't think, on there except for some of the people from McCain media place that they sent us stuff. And we have John Slitt, Sherry Kagi. There's a couple of big names, I suppose. And, of course, they are. And then we have a few more people. We have Julie Elias as well. We've interviewed those interviews this past year, and we're going to interview them again. In fact, we had Julie in December, and I think it was December. And then in November, and then we had John Schlitt and Sherry Kagi this last month. So we're going to have them as well. I'm going to be interviewing Freddie Washington again. I enjoyed him. He was a great interview. And a few more from McCain, but then we're also going to be interviewing a couple of authors and talk to them and see how they're doing, and do whatever we do with them. We're going to have William Federer. We interviewed him last year, and I'm trying to remember. It's on my desk at the office, and at the home office, and I don't remember all the names. But we got a pretty good schedule. Oh, our first interview is going to be with June Hunt. She's become very popular off of our channel, off of our counseling and prayer channel. And that's about it. I think that the names that I remember, there's several there, and we're gonna see them there. We're gonna have a good time with them. Dr. Jim Markham. I'm just remembering names. So there's so many. 25, 26 interviews. Maybe we're gonna finish out with 27. Almost about the same I did last time. This time is not gonna be live. It's going to be just short 5 minutes between and 10 minutes shows. And I'm going to save those shows for these kind of times when I'm on the air and I'm talking to you, and I just want to get this encouragement to you. So those are going to be pretty good. Just remember, my friends, it always takes courage to do what God's calling you to do. It always takes courage to do it. Preaching schedule starts kicking off in March. Probably going to be down in South Texas preaching again and be back. And then I'm going to be out in South Carolina preaching. Got an invitation out there this past week. And we're going to just see where God is going. You know, I don't go to preach for offerings. Praise God. I go to see the power of God move. I go and I pray this. This is a prayer I prayed, and I'm going to share it with you. I prayed to God that He would show me. That He would show me the place to start with a pastor who has the same heart that I have for evangelism, and that he has, that God has. Someone that wanted to see the Spirit just move and change that neighborhood and that nation. And I said, Lord, I can go almost anywhere in the United States, and I can knock on doors, I can look for people online, I could try and make that connection. But God, can you make that connection? And let that be the beginning. Let that be the beginning of what we're going to start to do. And believe it or not, God is faithful. He is faithful. I have an interview coming up in the ICRS from an individual. I'll introduce it before it starts again. But it's about someone that had to take courage just to come back and do the work that God's called him to. So let me get you a quick commercial, and we will be right back in just a few minutes. Here's One Impact, and we'll be right back.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
Is God trying to get your attention? Is He trying to tell you or teach you something? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will impact your life and the lives around you. You know, I'll never forget years ago, a long, long time ago, when my 3 sons were little boys and I was raising them as a single mom. Not the situation I ever expected to be in. But as we all know, life has its ups and downs, turns and twists. But even in the midst of my life-changing time, God continued to bless and provide for us. But I had this attitude that I could do all things. But God quickly showed me my prideful heart. You see, I was expecting a payment for a book project I was working on, and the check was late. Day after day, the check just wouldn't come. And then I started to worry about how I was going to make ends meet. You know, with 3 little boys, we were always running out of milk and food. After a few days that went by, I finally asked a sweet man down the road who owned a small country store, his name was Pete, if I could go ahead and pick up a few things for the boys. It was one of the most difficult things I ever had to do. Well, maybe not one of the most difficult things I had to do, but it was definitely a humbling experience. You know, Pete became my angel, and he opened his entire store to me, and it gave him so much joy to help me and my sons. You know, the very next day my check arrived. Jesus taught me through this situation that it wasn't all about the things that I could do on my own, but it was all about Him. He reminded me in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. He humbled my heart. I used to think that if I asked help from someone else, it showed my weakness, it showed my inability. But God gives us angels like Pete, our friends and our family, to help us through the difficult times. Listen to me, it's an insult to steal the joy from others who want to reach out and to make an impact in your life. Are you like me years ago? Are you struggling? Do you need help? And are you afraid to reach out to others? Let go and let God. Let go of that pride and let God provide for you. Don't steal the joy of others who are willing to help you. There will be another time in your life when the tables will turn, and then you'll be able to help someone else. You'll make that one impact in the life of another person, and it will bring you so much joy. The I can do all things myself attitude will change to I can do all things through Him that gives me strength. If you have any questions or comments, I'd love to talk with you. My website is www.terrysquires.com. And if you're wanting to make a life-changing impact in the lives of others, please check out my new One Impact Bible published by Zondervan. It's all about our one true God who knows you, loves you, and sees you. Please never forget that. It's also about the one person you are in Christ and your one relationship with Him. And lastly, it's about how to make your one impact in this world that will reach millions. So until next time, I'm Terry Squires. Don't forget to make your one impact.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection. Welcome back to the show. This is your host again, David Yanez, and we're excited to have you with us again. We got an interview that I did with someone that really, really just encouraged me. You hate to see someone go through a physical pain, and definitely hate to see someone just completely just mangled with just his body, his and everything. Well, this guy had several surgeries. I don't know how many, but he was in an accident that should have took his life. And now he's preaching the gospel and telling people about how God has changed him. He was involved in a chemical fire. And I'm gonna let him tell you his story. You're going to enjoy him. Let me just cue him up in just a second. But I met him, and I didn't know who I was interviewing and what I was interviewing at the time, what the topic was. I just knew he was in an accident. And when I seen him, I tell you, my friends, it really challenged my heart and challenged everything that just seeing him and his hurt, it just challenged me. His wife stood with them and faithfully and loving him and being with them. In fact, they have a child and now it's just amazing. Well, his book's called Dead Man Breathing, Wine Press Publishing, and I want you just to hear his testimony. So I'm going to go to this testimony that we got at the RCRS, the last time we were there. God bless. We will be right back after this interview with him. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we are ready to get going on the next segment. I tell you what, we've been getting people in and getting people out of this place, and, you know, it's God's doing the great things that we're doing. And we have together today Billy Jack and
Alita.
How do you say your name?
Alita.
Alita, let's get your microphone all the way up.
Yes.
Okay, and then you're going to have to pick it up to talk to it.
And, Alita.
All right. And we are here, and this is the book I was waiting for. This is the only one I didn't get. Did they just get them?
Yes.
They did get. Okay, put the mic in front of you.
Yes. Okay, yeah, they just got them.
Okay, there. We'll turn yours up just a bit so we can there. All right, and we're going to talk just a little bit about this. This cover's awesome. Who
Thank
did this
you.
Cover?
Thank you. Wine Press, me and Wine Press got together and decided we wanted something different. This is a one-of-a-kind story, so we wanted a one-of-a-kind cover.
Okay, awesome.
We die-cut, burn holes in the cover, and it's
That had
cool.
to be difficult because these things are just coming out. And so, wow. I mean, that's pretty nice.
It's something that will grab your attention for sure.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So you've been waiting for the book. Now it's finally in your hand. But let's tell everybody a little bit about yourself before we jump into your book, if we can.
Well, I'm Billy Jack McDaniel. My wife Alita's here, and I got burned in 06, and we've been married for 15 years to date. We were married 9 years when I got hurt, and I was kind of brought up in a non-church going, non-praying type family, and this brought me really to my faith.
It brought you to the Lord?
Well, I was already a Christian, but I was the average Christian. This brought me to where I wanted to feed off of the Word.
Mm. That's powerful. That's powerful. Now tell us about what happened, and then we'll get into the book and everything.
Well, on March 3rd, 2006, I was working derricks on a drilling rig, mm-hmm. and a piece was manufactured wrong, and it allowed gas to escape from the well. And I was about 160 foot off the ground, and I just had to watch the fire come get me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was nowhere for me to go.
So you seen it coming already? You knew it was, yeah. You knew it was about to happen?
I saw it. I was watching it come get me, and there was nowhere for me to go.
Hmm.
I never lost consciousness. I remember every minute detail, every minute step, every breath. The fire is beautiful. It's gorgeous. And on the same token, it's deadly.
Hmm. Amen. And when you seen it coming, what was your thought?
Well, my original thought was, I got to get down. And once I figured out that I couldn't get down, my next thought was, I wanted to tell my wife and little girl bye, and they wasn't there. So I just wanted to die after that.
Hmm.
I mean, I was watching my skin melt. So it was all happening really fast.
Hmm. That's amazing. That's amazing. And then, okay, this happened. They contacted you immediately?
Yes. I got the dreaded phone call that no wife or spouse or anybody wants to ever receive. And, you know, immediately my reaction was to call my dad and then to start praying.
Hmm.
And pray. A year and a half I prayed, probably. I was in constant prayer.
Wow. Now, was he out of conscious, or?
He was. He was in an induced coma.
Okay.
Whenever I got to the hospital, you know, and so he was out for probably a month and a half.
Really?
Probably he was pretty much out of it.
Wow, that's a long time. That's a long time.
Yes.
And so was there support around you, people?
I did. I had support. I had family. I had my mom and dad were in Mississippi taking care of our daughter, Carney, because so they could not be at the hospital with me. I was in Shreveport, Louisiana at the LSU Burn Center. And so I had family and friends that were there with me. And, you know, I had support, and it was great. But at the end of the day, the only way I was able to function was to let God have me
mm-hmm.
completely.
Hmm. So this was a growth for you as well?
Oh, definitely. I was raised in a Christian home, and I was a Christian. But thank God that I had the example of my parents and the great women in my life, my grandmother, sisters, and everything, and aunts, that's all I knew to do was whenever tragedy hits, you get on your knees and pray.
Mm.
And so thank God that's the example that I had. And so it was a very good spiritual growth on my part as well.
Amen. Amen. So let's talk about your book. When this all happened, did you ever think that you were going to even be at this point where you are today?
No, you got to figure, I'm a country boy from South Mississippi, worked mm-hmm. in the oil field. I did not finish high school. I got a GED and I went to work. And after I got hurt and we started seeing how people were inspired by our story, how people wanted to hear the story, we wrote the book. And the book, what is in the book, my wife kept a journal from the first day I went in the hospital.
Okay.
Her actual journals are in that book. And it goes back and forth with what I'm remembering and what she's actually writing down.
Okay.
And it provides the reader a story of hope, inspiration, and it doesn't matter how bad it gets, God is there, and you got to want to see it.
Amen. Amen. So what did the doctors say? I mean, what were they telling you? Were you ever going to be where you need to be again?
No. Whenever I got to the hospital, Dr. Sattig set me down, the burn doctor, and he said, your husband will not make it for 24 hours. And 20, you know, that's, and he said 24 hours is probably pushing. I mean, like, that was a big window, I think he thought, yeah, he was giving me. I think he thought as he was speaking to me that Jack was back there coding at that point.
Wow.
He said he is severely burned, and he said there's no chance of survival at this point. He said he's going to die. And he said he has three things going for him: his age, he's in good shape, and God. If God wants him to live, he will live. If he doesn't, he won't. And I said, well, he's going to live.
Mm.
And I tell people all the time, if you can explain it by science or by medical or by physics,
mm-hmm,
I will listen. Because the best in the world have looked at me and shrugged their shoulders. They said my eyes should have melted at 800 degrees. And this fire burned me at over 2,000 degrees for 15 seconds.
Wow. Only 15 seconds.
It's a 15 seconds doesn't seem
2,000
long.
2,000 degrees.
But
though,
when you start looking at goodness, it, yes, it's a long time.
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine 15 seconds.
Yeah. 15 seconds changed my whole life.
Mm. So when you tell me about, okay, you're in the hospital, now you finally wake up.
When I wake up, it is it's fear, panic, cussing, praying, screaming.
Combination of it.
Yes.
Understandable.
Yeah, we are, you know, it was really bad.
Hmm.
Going through the dressing changes, that, you know, you had to wake up to that every morning.
Really?
They just peel you like an orange, you know, and they have to take off all the dried bad stuff. They have to just pull it off. And that room, you can walk by that room any hour of the day and hear screams. I mean, it is really intense. And I went through that. They said I've been in the hospital for almost 2 years. And I walked out of the hospital weighing 80 pounds, 4 months.
Wow. Now, how much did you weigh before this?
I went in the hospital, I weighed almost 235.
Oh, wow.
And I walked out 4 months, 17 days later, weighing 80 pounds.
80 pounds. That's crazy.
For a 6'1" frame, that's pretty bad.
Wow, that is. That is. And so, okay, you're getting to the recovery. You're visiting him at the hospital. What are you thinking? You're seeing him get through all these changes.
Well, you know, I guess the way I coped with it and the way God allowed me to cope with it was, you know, you go in there the first time and you see him and it's not human-like. It's hard to recognize and believe that that is your husband lying there. And so every change, I was always comparing it to that very first time.
Yeah.
So, to me, it was beautiful. I mean, it was fabulous the way he was changing and the way his skin was changing and his looks were changing. I compared it to that first moment, and I thought he was beautiful. I kept telling him every day he was beautiful until he looked at himself and he thought I'd lied to him for 4 months.
Hmm.
Yeah, the first time I looked at myself was really, really bad. I looked in the mirror and there was nothing of me there.
Wow. I can't imagine.
I used to sit in front of a mirror for hours trying to find something of me. But that being said, I got to say that all of us, we have to put that past, we have to die to that old self. And that has never been truer to me than at that point when I decided, okay, I've got to die to that old person and I got to start living as this new person.
Amen. Amen. So you're out of the hospital, you're recovering and stuff. How long was the recovery?
We're still recovering. Okay. I still do rehab, and this is 6 years out. I still do rehab. I do massage therapy twice a week. I still stretch. We still go through it. We still do surgery.
Wow. So this is a daily thing still.
It's a full-time job.
Oh, wow. And okay, so you're out there. When was your first encounter with someone to try that you helped them through this experience?
Well, 1 year after my injury, I spoke at the church I was a member of. And that, I mean, it was great. The nurses, pardon me, excuse me, the nurses that we had for home health, to hear them talk about how they have shared the story, and it had helped them. It had helped other people they knew. It had motivated. I mean, this story has been touching people from day one.
Okay.
Even without...
Not knowingly.
I mean, it's not... Even without our name attached to it. And wow. That's what it's about. It's about the story.
Wow. Amen. So, okay, you're talking to people. You're going to speaking to people in church. Why the book?
Because it's as simple as the book can get in places I can't. The book can go. The book can be everything from on a computer to Kindle to ebook, iBook. You can hold it in your hands. And the book, what we want out of our story is you got to find something in it that is personal to you.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if it's my book or the Bible or any other book. You got to find that personal aspect, and then you can share it. Then you can relate. Then you can start to understand it. That's what we want.
Amen. Now I'm going to ask you a question. How have y'all grown closer during this, and what would you tell couples?
Well, we have grown closer in the fact that we now know what it means to truly love your spouse and okay. how to love your spouse. And we have to put God first and know that God is the only one that can do for us what we want and live up to those high expectations. We can't do that for each other. And we've learned that. And, you know, we just want couples, young married, not married, been married 25 years, to know that if you can walk the walk that we've had to go through, that God has allowed us to go through, we believe that, you know, anybody can stay married.
Amen.
And it's important. It is very important that you learn how to love each other and learn to love God first.
Amen. Now, is there any contact information you want to give everybody?
Yes. To order the book, you can go to winepress.com, winepressbooks.com, pardon me. Or also you can visit our website, which is billyjackmcdaniel.com, and click on Dead Man Breathing tab, and it takes you directly to the order page. And at billyjackmcdaniel.com, you can also find out about our nonprofit and our ministry.
Okay. Well, great. It was great having you on the show. And we're going to be having you again. I know it's only 15 minutes now, but y'all can always do a call-in over the phone.
Yes.
And we'd love to have you for like half an hour. And we do interviews throughout the whole year, so I'm always looking for someone. So I'm even send you an email and say, hey, are you going to be able this week or something?
Yeah, perfect. You send it, we'll answer it.
We'd love to.
We'd love to. It's been great.
Amen. Thank you again for visiting our show.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez. I hope you enjoyed that interview. That was with Mr. Billy Jack McDaniel and Alita. It was an amazing, amazing interview because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we think that we have it hard, we have it difficult. But when you run to someone that has been burned in 90% of his body and still had the courage to live and to walk and to then start ministering and preaching to people, I tell you what, my friends, it is only God that can give a man strength to look at his self and say, hey, I don't care how I look, I'm going to keep doing the gospel. And this is a guy that was working the oil wells and was caught in a pipe, and the pipe caught on fire. When you look at him, my friends, I'm trying not to be insensitive when I say this, but it is a very, very horrifying thing to see. And I don't mean to offend him. In fact, he thinks he looks beautiful because his wife loves him, and that's awesome. But it's amazing to see a man that has a lot of confidence. Where I tell you this all the time, it takes faith, yes, faith to believe that God will do something and bring it. But it takes courage every day to stand up and do what you believe for God. And any time you can stop doing it when you lose your courage and lose your strength, but you just have to have that courage to do what God is telling you to do. Amazing story. And of course, you've heard One Impact just before that. And with Terry Squire just telling you about letting go of pride and having people help you and having people do things for you. Don't think you can do the work of God or even life by yourself, my friends. I hope this all encourages you. I got my appointment that's here already, so I'm going to let y'all go today, and we're going to believe God for amazing things for your life, for the things that God is doing. We know that God is awesome. Know that he's able to complete anything that he started in us because he's faithful to do it to the very, very end. God bless you, my friends. I'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. Y'all take care.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.